Hi, Scott McKinnon here. We're about to go live with Tough 27 contestant Saman Mukhtarian. It's a bit earlier than normal, but time difference in Australia and all that. So, yeah, we're going to get it going. We're going to talk all things MMA, talk the Ultimate Fighter with him, stuff like that. So, yeah, while we wait for Saman to come on, you can go check out Tasteless Teas. Provide me with my new logo and everything like that. Also go and check out CBD Life UK. I will be finishing the competition with them that I've got this week on my page. All you have to do is like my page, like their page, and share my post to win some free stuff. And if you check them out online, use discount code MONSTARS15. Also go and check out Ultimate Fighting Outlet as well. They do everything from tape to wraps to gloves, pads, kit, apparel, clothing, everything. You can find them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. If you go and check them out and use discount code MONSTARSMMA for 10% off your order. So yeah, we'll just wait for Saman to come on. And yeah, we'll get it going. Obviously Saman was in the Ultimate Fighter house this season. He lost to Ricky Steele, but he wanted another shot, but unfortunately got injured during the show. And he couldn't carry on. So we'll talk to him about all things like that. If you're wondering why I sound like Darth Vader, because I'm probably the only person in the UK in the scorching heat with a cold. Just wait for Saman to pop up to say he's here. Here we go. We'll add him now. See, so yeah, if anyone's going to. And we've got to go. I'm just adding Saman now. Hey man, thanks for joining me.
Hey brother, how are you?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I just had to figure out how this thing works.
Yeah, it's alright. It's quite complicated, but for now, it's kind of the best way to do things.
Yeah.
What's been happening? It can go out live as well, so it's people can ask questions and stuff as well.
This is the first time I've done it through Facebook, so. It's all right.
Yeah, see, I didn't know about it either. Someone else told me, so.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, how's things? Obviously, I know you're busy with the gym and stuff. You got guys fighting soon and everything.
Yeah, man. We're coming into a big month in September. We got a couple guys fighting in August, obviously. We got like two shows on in August. We got Diamondback Fighting Championships, which is in Adelaide. I've got four guys on that. I got three pros, one amateur, and I got one of my guys that I manage who's in the main event. He's defending his title. He's a middleweight who's on a tear at the moment. He's UFC bound for sure soon. Shane Mitchell. So if anyone can, August 17th, jump on the Fight TV. Check out that card because Diamondback is bringing a great card of some banging fights. Great local Australian fights. You know, not everyone likes to always watch fights that they don't know the people fighting, but it's a great card. And there's some crazy, crazy fights from amateurs to pro going on.
And obviously, like I said, you're a very busy guy. You're managing fighters. You run the gym with your brother. You train yourself. And you obviously you help promote guys and stuff like that as well. So it's like no end to your talents, really.
Well, I love this sport, you know, more than anything. I'm a fan of the sport. So I like to be involved in as much as I can, you know, whether it's promoting, like, you know, I've got my own promotion as well, Urban Fight Night. If whether it's promoting my own show, promoting someone else's show, whatever it is, like if it involves MMA, I just like being involved and I like helping out. I believe that it is one of the greatest sports in the world, and I want to see more Australian fighters, not just people that I manage or people that I help. I get happy even if someone from my team doesn't make it, because if someone from any person in Australia, we're a small country, but if we if anyone makes it, you know, just it brings up the sport in our country. It's better for the gyms. It's better for the promotions. It's better for everyone, you know. So I'm always happy to see other Australians make it. We just had Jim Crute, who went on the Contender Series and he won. We've got Ben Sassoli, who's in Tough 28 right now. He's one of the guys that I manage. So that was cool for me, you know, getting to go into the Ultimate Fighter House and then in the next season have one of the guys that I manage go into the house as well and be able to talk him through the experience. So it's good times right now.
Yeah, and like obviously you've expressed these things on social media as well about like staying busy and everything like that and fighter pay. I mean, we spoke the other night on Twitter about it and stuff like that. And it's people are getting greedy with what they're wanting for fight money. And obviously, it caused a bit of a stir, what you said, but it's your opinion. And you're allowed to be honest. And in a sense, the sports basically, it's you can't really give a shit what people think in a sense because, yeah, like I say, it's your opinion, you're entitled to it. And if you're not entitled to your opinion, what's the point of people talking? But
That's right.
you're involved
What
with the
I
sport.
said.
You said you're involved with the sport and you love the sport of MMA. And these guys that are moaning about fighter pay aren't doing the stuff that you're doing. Like you're
That's
trying
right.
to help with the growth of the sport as well as just being in the sport yourself. So you're doing as much as you can to help the sport and make as much money from the sport and promote the sport to bring these guys through, whereas other guys are just wanting to do it with just with fighting.
How do you make a difference in a sport? Or how do you make a difference in anything? You have to go in, you have to get involved, and you have to do something about it. You can't sit, bitch, and moan about anything. If you want fighter pay to go up, well, fucking bring some more people, bring more attention to the sport. You know, whether it's locally or, you know, internationally, you have to be able to like expand your horizons, not just for yourself, but for everything that you do in the sport as well. And make it grow. We're still not, we're not as big of a sport as boxing yet. We're not there yet. You know, we're not big, as big as the NFL yet, and we're not bigger than anything right now. We're still a baby in all of this. We're still on a baby stage. People, before it's even kicked off, are trying to sue the UFC and all this shit. But really, like everyone knows, all right, you signed a 4-fight deal with the UFC. You sign that dotted line and everything's all well and good, right? But you know yourself, if you lose two, three fights, you might not see the fourth fight on the end of the contract. And they're like, oh, well, it's a contract. Well, everyone kind of knows it, and they actually don't go any off anything off the contract as well. Like if your performances aren't up to scratch, they do have the right to cut you. And obviously, people feel like they're entitled because they banked on the third or fourth fight or whatever. Or people are feeling like they should have gotten paid more in their next contract offer. But really, if you ended up signing the contract, you knew exactly what you're getting yourself into, and you can't bitch, you can't moan, you can't complain. In any other job in the world, you go and fucking talk about your boss like that, you get fired. You know, like we're still in the real world, all right? Fighters are starting to think they're untouchable because because you fight, good on you. Like, it makes no difference. You're still like, you're still the same person, and you're still working for someone. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh no, you're not working for someone. You're an independent subcontractor or whatever the fuck anyone wants to go up. People can always bring something up. People can say, oh no, but this is why, this is why. We know what we've gotten ourselves into, right? And the reason I got into this sport is because of ambition. Not fame, not money, not anything like that. I'm an ambitious person, and I like what this sport has done, not just for myself and for my brother, but like our family as well, and people around us, all right? So everyone's looking at the small. I feel like money is the root of all evil. You know, and while I say this, right, I live very comfortably. And maybe people will be like, oh, well, because you live comfortably. Well, I decided to open up a business. You know, me and my brother decided to pursue something. We decided to do something for ourselves. We didn't bitch and ask for a handout. You know what I mean? We've never asked for a handout, and we don't get handouts. You know?
Yeah, and we opened up our. What people don't realize is that you live comfortably because you went out and earned it.
I have a successful gym. You know, I have a successful promotion, and I work like, you know, I grind. I hustle every day. You know, this is a lifestyle for me. Do you know, if I have to get up and I have to train people to earn money, that's fine. If I can fight at the same time as doing that, that's fine. I'm not going to complain that I shouldn't have to train people, or I shouldn't have to run a gym, or I shouldn't have to run a promotion to get this, like to get extra money or something. Like, to me, fighting in the UFC and earning a paycheck, like whether it's 10 and 10, 12 and 12, 20 and 20, 25 and 25, yeah. Right? That's a bonus. You know what I mean? We're still, let's be responsible here, right? A lot of fighters now are quitting their jobs and saying, I'm going to give it everything. I'm going to give it a crack, and I'm going to do this. And that's all well and good. That's all fine. Yeah, but what happens if it doesn't work out? You've got kids dropping out of school now, right, so they can train full time. You've got like parents like pushing their kids to do all this stuff as well, in hopes that what, they become the next Conor McGregor, where they become millionaires. You know, I know people that have given up everything in order for a dream. Let's remember that it's a dream. I think 1% of the world who actually fights as a professional ever make it to the UFC. There's something like 600 UFC fighters right now. Out of all the professionals in the world, out of all the aspiring fighters in the world, there are 600 people in the UFC right now. That means the chances of you actually making it there is very, very minimal. Now, people are like, oh, well, look how hard we've grinded to get here. Look how hard we've worked. Yeah, we should get fucking paid more. This is meant to be the number one organization in the world. Look how much money they're fucking earning. Well, put up $4 billion, or put up $40 million that the UFC were in the hole yourself, start your own promotion, and then see how you react with fighters asking for more money. Everything changes, right? Let's see what happens when the roles are reversed. Everyone's a fighter right now. What would you do? Would you spread it and make it all even if you're Dana White? Would you do that? No.
Well, no, because then you've got your people in the top five ranks in all weight divisions moaning that they're getting getting the same money as a guy that's ranked 25.
At the end of the day, that's the contract that your manager, that's the contract that yourself negotiated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get what you're worth. You get what you're worth. Now, most people come in on an entry-level UFC contract, which is 10,000, 10,000 US. That's an entry-level. Everyone mainly gets that, unless you've got like, you've got your odd person that comes from Bellator, or you've got some big names that come and they get signed for a little bit more money. But do you Israel Adesanya, is he going into his third or his fourth fight in the UFC?
Fourth, I think it is.
Fourth fight. I'm pretty sure he renegotiated after his second fight.
Yeah.
Right? And you have that option, and the UFC would be dumb not to renegotiate with you when the numbers are good. Right. Same thing with Taito Iwasa, renegotiated his contract as well. Jesse Jess renegotiated a contract as well. these fighters have the option. But if you're losing, why should they keep investing money and bulking it up? If you're winning, losing, winning, losing, winning, losing, and you're never going to get quite at the top, well, you know, they eventually they want to weed it out, and the top 15 will be making the majority of the money. The top five will be making a little bit more money. But then you've got guys that are getting flown around in a private jet. Yeah, they've got a $100,000 car. They've got a $1 million house, you know, but they're complaining about the 200 grand that they're getting paid. Now, it is not the UFC's responsibility to say what car you drive, what house you have, what your expenses are. You have to stay in your lane. And that's, again, being a responsible adult, which a lot of these fighters, I feel like maybe they've taken a bit too many punches to the head where they don't understand it. They're getting a bit punchy, so they think, oh, I need to make as much money while I get out of it. Yes, we are risking our health, we are risking our body, but we choose to do that. You know,
it's exactly the same as like if I went to work 40 hours a week and put money into a pension, and then I retired, and I said to my company, oh, I've worked for you for 20 years and you never gave me enough money in my pension. And they turn around and say, well, that was your problem. That's your business for not putting as much in your pension. It's the fighter's job to look after themselves, like you said, be a responsible adult and manage your money better.
Well, exactly. We have to manage our money better, right? And maybe I'm a bit simple-minded because I'm from Australia. And our sports stars don't make anywhere near... Like, we might have, like, one or two sports stars getting paid nearly $1 million. Like, I don't know many sports stars in Australia that are getting paid $1 million a year or anything like that. Like, very, 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 very rare that would happen. I grew up playing sports, playing rugby, and a lot of my friends have went and they were playing professional rugby. They were getting paid to play. But they still needed a job at the same time. These, again, professional athletes that needed to still work. They still have trades. You know, they still work plumbing. They still work electrical. They do all these things and they studied at the same time. You know, like, look what you have to do to make the NBA. You have to at least go to college for a season to make the NBA. They try and encourage you to study. They try and encourage you to do these things. Now, the UFC, I'm not saying it needs to encourage us to do these things, but us as responsible adults, we need to think about life after fighting before we even start. I set my life up right before I even really kicked off my career. Why? Because I wanted to have that bit of security, you know? Because reality is, right, even if you're the greatest, I know plenty of good fighters that have horrible records, like really, really good fighters, UFC level guys, Bellator level guys, they've got bad records. Why? Because they weren't in the right frame of mind to go in and fight. Why? Because they were stressing about money, they were stressing about all this stuff. I tell fighters all the time, I go, if you're doing this to make money, if you're doing this to think that you're gonna become rich, your mind's in the wrong place, you know?
And that's one of the things I've seen, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that Conor McGregor is supposedly just coming back just because of the money, because he's bought a $6 million house, he's got five Ferraris sat in the driveway, he's bought another $2 million out in houses, and he could get potentially sued, and it could cost him $20 million for, obviously, the New York incident.
Yeah, but look, Conor was gonna fight regardless. I don't think Conor is fighting for the money. I think that money helps, obviously, but I think he was gonna fight regardless. You cannot tell me that man is not an ambitious fighter. Go look at his first UFC fight, and then look at every single fight after that. If you don't tell me Conor McGregor has gotten better and better in every fight, then I don't know what you're watching. That man trains his ass off. And I know, I've spoken to people in his gym as well. While everyone thinks that, oh, he's partying and he's doing this, he's training. He's an ambitious person, and I feel like he's earned what he's gotten. Everyone's like, oh, no one should earn that type of money. No, and this kind of does contradict what I say, but he did earn what he's got. People watch him, And that's why he's gotten it. Everyone else feels like they should get Conor McGregor money. No, unless you're bringing Conor McGregor numbers to the table, you're not going to get that money. You know, and that goes to anyone. Look, right now, Israel Adesanya is one of the hottest prospects in MMA. Everyone wants to watch him fight. You know, Paulo Costa, same thing. A lot of the Brazilians, everyone's backing him like he could be the next big Brazilian superstar. He's got a country behind him. You know, Russia as well, Khabib, he's got a country. These guys, they're going to be making money, you know, and they're going to be bringing a lot of eyes to it. But I don't hear Israel complaining about his money.
No.
I don't see Paulo Costa complaining about his money. But I do hear Cody Garbrandt complaining about his money. But maybe that's because he was coming off a loss, you
Yeah,
know?
I've seen something about that because he was supposedly moaning about the money that he was getting for the fight. I mean, like you said, he come off a loss and stuff like that. And the suit that he turned up in wasn't cheap. But
Hey, and
from how he's got to the position that he was in from Saturday just gone, and the fights he's had before, and how he's burst on the scene. I mean, he's just got a new book deal and stuff like that, and it was on the stock exchange and stuff like that. He went to New York and done a promotion tour and everything like that. So, money shouldn't, in a sense, shouldn't be an option for him because, or an issue, sorry, because he's got other things in the works. I get that he's not got the gym and stuff like that, but bringing out a best-selling book and the fights of how quick he got to a title fight, especially with Dominic Cruz. I mean, and it wasn't an undercard fight, so he was
That's
going to get
right.
good money for that.
You know what's funny as well, right? A lot of the fighters, what they don't mention is I don't know the exact word, the undisclosed bonus that the fighters are receiving. They all get paid a bonus that doesn't, like, no one ever speaks about it. You know, every show now, if whether it's $1,000 or $2,000, $5,000, like everyone's like a little bit different. But from the fighters that I've like dealt with in the UFC, like my brother and Nadia and stuff, they're well taken care of. They don't complain. Maybe they don't. My brother doesn't complain because he's thinking to himself, oh, okay, I've come off two losses and they're still looking after me. But anything we've ever needed, they've always taken care of. You know, even if it's the small things, I think that everyone just thinks that you get to the UFC and you're some big superstar and you're entitled to something. Your career starts when you get to the UFC. You know, you go through fighting, you go as an amateur, and then when you start as a professional, your career completely starts again. You don't have a record then. It starts all over again. Then, when you get to the UFC or you get to Bellator, you get to any of these major organizations, your career again starts.
Yeah, because not many
Do you know?
people, obviously, unless you're like Khabib, who I think it was he was he 12 and 1 or 16, 16 and 0, sorry, when he joined the UFC. It's his 12th, 10th or 12th fight now that he's got in the UFC. It's unless you've got an undefeated record or you've beat top guys in these other promotions that people really take note of your record beforehand, before you get to the UFC. I mean, I spoke to Gerald Meerschaert the other day, and he was saying like exactly what you said. His career started again when he got to the UFC. So his record, he's 4-1 in the UFC with four finishes. He's had five professional fights because he's 4-1.
Whatever happens before literally doesn't matter. So all these guys are like, oh, I'm entitled to this because I got into the UFC or I've worked so hard to get there. No, your career just started. You're given a platform. Let's remember this. We're given a platform, right? We're given the opportunity to go and perform in front of millions and millions of people. If we don't come up trumps, well, that's not a good thing. Like, that's not a good start. But if we do what we say on the mic, how we present ourselves, the market that we're trying to hit, or you know, the viewership that we're trying to get. Like, people forget this is a sport of entertainment still. You know, it bugs me a lot. It bugs me a lot to hear fighters complaining about earning 50 and $50,000. And again, maybe this is because I haven't even had like my first UFC fight yet, right? And you never know. I might not ever fight again. My knee might fuck out again and I might not have a fight. But what I'm trying to say is all these guys that are complaining, like I'm a person that, again, I believe in money is evil and I think it turns a lot of people. But they go in and they complain, but they don't think about, well, fuck, how many fighters do you think have grinded and tried to get there and they didn't make it and they've got nothing to their name, you know? Like, be happy and be blessed and be thankful of the good things in life, not always complaining about the bad things. Like, I felt like I changed a little bit as a person going into the Ultimate Fighter. And I just said to myself, because I want to see the positive situation out of everything. Yeah. If you ask any of the producers or anyone that was there, I had a lot of rough days, especially with the injuries and stuff like that. Like, I had a lot of days where I didn't want to be there. Not because of the competition or anyone else, really. You know, I wanted to be there, but at the same time, you know, I have anxiety issues and I struggled a lot to just be around cameras and stuff like that. But I never complained. I never went, like, some of the guys that were in the house were like, fuck these cameras, fuck this, fuck that, fuck that. I don't think anyone actually stressed about the cameras and about waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and having a camera in your face more than me. Like, I stress out about it a lot, but I never said anything. And it's not because, oh, I'm trying to suck up or anything, but it's because I knew what I'm getting myself into. I signed the contract. I've watched The Ultimate Fighter since season one. I knew exactly what I was getting myself into, you know? And, you know, I didn't want to complain about anything. I needed to look at the positive side of everything, you know? Even when I got an injury, I remember I was sitting in the confessional and I was crying and crying and crying and crying that why did it have to be like this? And then, like, I took a second and I thought to myself, like, listen to me crying. I'm crying in a multi-million dollar mansion around some of the best fighters in the world that are undefeated and some great guys as well. You've spoken to all the guys on the show. Everyone in the house, most guys were real cool. And I thought to myself, this is just another part of my story. My injury is a part of my story and this is how it has to be. And I need to keep looking at the positive side of things. So there was days when people were trying to fuck with me, you know, and I just needed to look at the positive side of everything and make myself a better person. And when I came back home, I really felt like I brought that home with me because some people may see it and some people may not, but I try and not let anything affect me anymore. Like, not anything. I think I'm at a mental stage where I've been through so much, I've done so much that I can't see a negative side of life anymore. You know, people may call me stupid, but why should I complain about getting paid $20,000 to perform and have fun in front of millions of people? You know, why should I complain about that when kids in Africa with nothing? There's homeless people everywhere. You know, I went and we had a show. I went to PXC in Manila, and I don't think I've ever seen as many homeless people as I've seen in the Philippines. You know, like kids. You know, 5-year-old, 6-year-old kids, and it breaks my heart to see things like that. And then people want to come out and complain that they're not earning enough money. Oh, do you want to turn around and say, oh, those kids should get off their ass and do something? No, some people don't have the option. Some people aren't even able to walk, you know? So it pisses me off when we're completely capable of doing something, but we don't do it ourselves. You know, we feel like we're entitled to more. But really, what about all those people that can't do something? You know, what about all those people? What about those people that dream to be MMA fighters and they can't do it? You know, why? Too bad? No, it's just, let's be a little bit more remorseful and let's just keep the world going around, you know?
And it's like what you said, like people get employed by the UFC and then they moan about it. You wouldn't do it anywhere, any other place. You wouldn't apply for a job. And then when you get the job, you're like, ah, this boss is a dick, or this, that, and the other, and I don't like this guy and stuff like that. And
yeah,
people are like, this is why I love the Ultimate Fighter, because not a lot of people realize when they watch it, they say, oh, people have got sob stories, they've got backgrounds and stuff like that. But it's not really sob stories. It's your life, basically. And they don't understand the sacrifices that guys have to make to get just to the Ultimate Fighter, just to be on the show, never mind win the show. It's just getting to the house is like probably the biggest sacrifice you'll make.
Look, you like that Ultimate Fighter, exactly that. We hear, you guys have heard part of my story. You guys heard what could make it on TV. There's been a lot of things that I've gone through that have made me the person that I am. But not only that, hearing other people's stories at the same time made me, like, I felt like, oh, okay, I've done it a lot. But every story has its own significance. And hearing other people's story as well was like, man, I couldn't have been able to do that. Like, I remember Luis Peña told me that he was sleeping in the gym, you know, just like at the back in like a little tiny room at the back of his gym, just so he can get that work in, so he can make enough money to survive. And he was fighting like paycheck to paycheck. I'm blessed and lucky enough that I never needed to do that, you know, and other fighters did, you know. So I hope like people like that, like, you hope that people don't lose their minds when they start earning a bit of fame, when they start earning a bit of money. Yeah, people are like, oh, the fame has gotten to, again, Conor McGregor's head. And I feel like it has. And I feel like he has made some horrible, horrible, horrible choices. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we can complain about the money that he's getting paid. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's on him as a person. That's his karma. That's what he has to answer back to. And I'm a big believer in karma and stuff. So what I've told myself is if I go into the UFC, if I have one fight, I have two fights, and I come out, I'm going to only look out of the positive side of things. If I go in there and I become successful and I become rich and all this, I hope that I just don't lose myself and I remain the same person that I am today. That's what's most important to me. And I feel like I'm a pretty realistic person. I'm a pretty, like, down-to-earth person. And, you know, some people took my comments, like, pretty bad. Like, I got some bad comments back to me, you know, on Twitter. But that's fine. Like, you know, I don't think everyone's got their own opinion on me as well. You know, I don't mind. I see hateful comments all the time. And I just kind of like laugh it off. I don't think into it too much. I needed to say that because, again, you've got guys that have like, they're wearing $1,000 glasses. They're wearing $10,000 suits. And they're saying they're not getting paid enough. You're comfortable. You know, if people need to be a little bit more happy if they got a fridge full of food. You know, everyone needs to just stay in their lane. I think everyone needs to like kind of slow down, enjoy the process, and whatever's meant to be will be.
Yeah, like you said, if you got to the UFC and you only had one fight and then that was it, that'd be happy for you. Like, obviously, it'd be even better if you made it further, but the principle of having one fight in the UFC is enough for you, so to speak, where you've still got your gym and you've still got your own promotion and stuff like that. So
I 100% believe that I could go in there tomorrow and I could fight against a lot of the top fighters right now at 135 or 145 pounds. And I'd be successful and I'd be good. But reality of it is this, luck doesn't work like that. Sometimes you go in there, I might go in there again, tear my knee apart in my first fight, come back on my second fight, and I'm just not feeling, I'm flat, and I ended up losing. Again, that's being realistic. All these guys are like, oh, I went into the Ultimate Fighter house, and I struggled with some of the promotion when I had to say that I'm going to remain undefeated. And it's not about me believing in myself or anything like that. If anyone knows me, they know that I'm a very, very, very confident person. I pride myself on being a confident person, but at the same time as being a confident person, I'm a realistic person. I think that even a few of the UFC champions that have gotten there, they haven't gotten there through like being the best fighter in their division. They've gotten there through a little bit of luck, a little bit of being at the right place at the right time, and having a good run. And that's what it is, you know. Like, I know plenty of good fighters that have had good runs and bad runs, you know. And
yeah,
I don't know.
The prime example is Michael Bisping.
Exactly. You know,
he had such an up and down career. Right. And if there was anyone in the UFC that deserved that title, it was Michael Bisping. The world wasn't going to give him it. He had to earn it.
Without a doubt. And look what he did. On like 10 days notice, he came out and like knocked out one of the most skilled fighters in the division. You know, he knocked out the champ at the time. There was no, like, I know now people are like talking about, can he take the punches or whatever? Let's just remember, he got knocked out last by Yoel Romero, and people are like, oh, his chin is gone. Yoel hits like a fucking truck.
Yeah.
You know, the MMA world is a little bit narrow-minded, unfortunately, and people don't see that. You don't have to be the best fighter to be the UFC champion. You have to have a good run. And I don't know what's set for me. I don't know what's set for my fighters. I can't predict anything. All we can do is water our own plants. You know, we water our plant and hope that it grows into something nice and beautiful. And if it doesn't, we can either go and water our plant somewhere else, or we can move on, you know. Like I said, I organized my life of fighting before I even started fighting. You know, and I'm comfortable now. I've always got a fridge full of food, and I haven't earned anything off of the UFC. Like, as in, I haven't fought in the UFC to earn money or anything like that. Everything that we've kind of done, me and my brother, has just been through us grinding out and helping out and like just doing our thing and just being true to ourselves.
So, right, aside from that, I'm going to start asking you about the Ultimate Fighter. So, obviously, like I said before, people don't see how much of a massive sacrifice it is. I mean, you and your brother run a gym together. So, in a sense, like, you've got a full-time job. You manage fighters. You're a head coach. So, the sacrifice you had to make to just go on the show was major, really. You had to restructure your life a bit to compensate for you not being there.
Yeah, it was pretty hard. You know, like, I couldn't tell anyone that I was going to the Ultimate Fighter, obviously. I know that a few people, like, had suspicions, and people knew that when I went there and I did my MMA Junkie interview and I stayed in Vegas for a couple of days, they assumed, and then when they see me come back with a camera and I was recording, a few people obviously assumed some stuff, but I wasn't able to go and tell everyone. And me being in contact with so many promotions, promoters, and fighters and stuff like that, it was like I was putting my life on hold for 6 weeks. But I knew that everything was okay. I kind of told a few of my specific guys that I knew had fights coming up what the situation was. And my other guys, I handed over to, like, my brother doesn't do any of the management side of things, but he took care of that while I was away. And everything was safe. And at my gym, I've got a really, really good support system. You know, obviously my brother being around helps a lot. You know, they always say the best type of person to have around you is another version of yourself, because imagine how much you'd get done. Yeah. Me and my brother are complete opposites, but everything that I don't get done, he gets done. Everything that he doesn't do, I do. So we kind of like work off each other. So he, if anything, picked up my workload when I was gone with the management side of things. I've got another fighter at my gym who, like, I just trust with everything. I trust with my life. Alex Georges, he's a light.